All right. Well, I got a harmonica up here in case I get bored. All right. I'll let you know. All right. We're going to be starting a new sermon series on how to bend and not break. And then we're going to start sometime later in the wintertime. We'll start a series on enrollments. All right. And so we'll camp out in Romans for a while, but until that time, we want to look at in life. Excuse me here. The accoutrements of worship. There you go. We want to look at how we can actually run well until the Lord takes us home, or until He comes again. It could be this year. Wouldn't that be great? That would save us from a whole lot of stuff, you know, I think. Clear my schedule, that'd be good. All right. Well, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we ask now as we go to your word and we learn from the book of Psalms in the next 5 weeks how we may bend and not break, how we may develop a spiritual resilience. Thank you, Lord. You never let go of us. You're the same yesterday, today, and forever. Help us to not only learn these truths, but put them in our heart. There's a lot depending upon our steadfastness. And we thank you in Christ's name. Amen. Well, first of all, throw it out there, is that I have provided for you, for your own personal or family or small group, blessing is questions based upon the 5 Psalms that we're going to be studying regarding the issue of resilience. You can pick those up at the information table, and hopefully they'll be helpful. When I started thinking about resilience and started thinking about why I talk about it, it's because occasionally, and now at age 63, people will say, well, boy, I don't know how you make it. It's a valid question, isn't it? Because people are curious. How do we make it? How do we make it through trials and temptations and a lot of miles on this soul? How do we make it? How do we maintain a joy of the Lord? It's a valid question. And maybe you're going through things right now, or we'll go through things next year, just for the purpose that people around you, your family, friends, neighbors, maybe your enemies are going, boy, how are they making it? And I think this is that our lives are reflecting a truth. The Lord calls us to be resilient. The word resilient came from the field of metallurgy. Right? It would be hard-pressed to find the exact word resilient in Scripture. But there's many concepts of resilience. So it's metallurgy. It's when something that is soft has been tempered so that it is, you know, it kind of is stronger. It's also something, it means something that can bounce back. So when I was a kid, I had one of those Gumby dolls, you know. Not a doll, it wasn't a doll, but, you know. It was action figure. Yes, yeah. And I'm telling you this, is that the things that we would do with Gumby are amazing, really. And he kept, you know, shoot them out of cannons, you know, throw them and all kinds of stuff. So it became actually terminology. Man, you're like Gumby. Means you're resilient. Resilient faith is a quality of faith that is able to see us through trouble, temptations, and trials and come through stronger. Come through stronger. You may have a little bit of scar tissue, but you come through stronger or wiser. Resiliency is the ability to cope with stress and adversity and bounce back to the previous state of normal functioning Or is using the exposure to adversity to produce a steeling effect, a strengthening effect in your life? Some people can go through stuff and they come back, they come through jaded. They go, ah, boy, I'm not doing that again. And so the issue is this, is I don't, if someone asks me, I don't, hopefully you'll learn from these five Psalms that God has a special plan for us. You maybe know someone today who's tired of the fight. And they maybe not have given up on God, but they don't trust Him any longer. They say, well, it would be too much for me to stop going to church because then people would think I'm a flake or something. But as to really trusting God, not with all the stuff He did, well, why did God allow this or whatever? And I'm hopefully through these 5 weeks, you'll come up. It's not only a resilient faith, but it's a greater sense of how God works. In all my study, I actually came across people who have developed their own theology of resilience. And I was challenged by that. Because a theology of resilience really is a theology or a study of how God works through joys, struggles, pains. And you may be right in the middle right now with something going, man, I don't know how this is going to possibly work out. I understand that. But we're going to find out that how God can help us to be resilient. So why study the book of Psalms? Because I have found over the period of years, and if part of this is about someone asking me time and time again this last year, well, how do you make it? How do you keep the joy? How do you keep whatever? Oh, well, this is part of it, is it ultimately this. I find myself in the, now it was interesting enough, and those who come on Friday night will hear my testimony. It was 46 years ago. On January the 1st, after a night of deciding I'm just going to get drunk by myself, I fell down in the front room of my house on 925 West Stanley Street in Ukiah, and I cried out to Jesus. I was so scared. You know, at age 16, I was lost. I was lost in the church, and I cried out to Jesus. So now, 46 years later, I find myself at the times of extra stress and challenge, I find myself drawn to the book of Psalms. There's something there that's so cohesive and that's so real. And I enter and I read this book of praise songs and songs that deal with every aspect of our, I believe, of our walk with the Lord. And it's helpful for me. So we're going to be looking at five psalms, but not just five psalms that kick off the five chapters of Psalms. You didn't know there were chapters, but there are five chapters. Some of the rabbis said that the five chapters represent the five books, the first five books of the Bible, or the Torah. And I don't know. I mean, it could be, and there's some correlation that you could try to find, but I'm not going to go that way. I mean, it's just there are five, and I believe that within the concept of those five, there are several threads that we pull them together that's going to make the year 2020 better for you. Yeah, that sounds better than what you heard on the news yesterday, I guarantee you, all right? So anyway, that's an understatement. Now, just a little bit of it. If you want to look at these five, there's a continuity of them. So Psalm 1, which we'll study today, is the foundational part of Psalms. But the transition between the first book and the second book, or the second and third, third and fourth, fourth and fifth, has a verse at the end of the psalm before that that is a common thread. So in Psalm 41:13, praise be the Lord, the God of Israel, from everlasting to everlasting. Amen, amen. 71, verse 18, 19. Praise be to the Lord God, the God of Israel, who alone does marvelous deeds. Praise be his glorious name. May the whole earth be filled with his glory. Amen, amen. Psalm 89, 52. Praise be to the Lord God forever. Amen, amen. Psalm 106, 48. Praise be to the Lord, the God of Israel, forever and ever. Let the people say amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. So there's a continuity. They get to the end of that first group and they say, God's great to Israel. Amen, amen. So be it, so be it. So we want to look at this, that ultimately, what is the basis of Psalm 1? I think it's critical. Psalm 1 has something in it that is the foundational point of something very important to the Lord in this issue of blessing. That sounds good. If God exists, and he does, and he says, I want to bless you, that sounds, I want that. That's what I want. Now, it's got to be his definition, right? The Bible contains two paths, and the thread of those two paths started at the very beginning. There are those who would follow the Lord and have their affections towards him, and there are those who would follow another voice, another path. There's two, and you can see that throughout Scripture, right? So we see this, that Psalm 1 is the comparison of those two paths, and it offers us this. Here's what it says. How blessed is a man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, nor stand in the path of sinners, nor sit in the seat of scoffers. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in the law of the Lord he meditates day and night. He will be like a tree firmly planted by streams of water that yields its fruit in this season, and its leaf does not wither, and whatever he does, he prospers. The wicked are not so. They are like chaff which the wind drives away. Therefore, the wicked will not stand in judgment, nor sinners in the assembly of the righteous. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked will perish. So we have this expression of God's blessing, and there's a picture of it. In the midst of that, knowing that our life is filled with choices. Your life is filled with choice. You made a choice to be here today. That's a good choice. I believe there's something that God has for each one of us today that's going to help us. Life's filled with choices. But the Lord wants to bless us. Interesting enough, the word blessing is how Jesus started one of the greatest sermons ever, Sermon on the Mount in the Beatitudes. That's a Latin word, beata, which means beautiful or a blessing. And we see here that there are many that in the Hebrew, ashar is the Hebrew word, makarios is the Greek word. It is the sphere of blessing that God's children walk in as they walk by faith. Now, I think our definition of what it is to be blessed can get confused. We somehow think, well, that means I'll never get sick, or my kid will never get sick, or I'll always have all the money I want, or I'll get whatever. That's nonsense. It tells us here what blessing looks like, but it also looks at what the choices are. So the blessing is the same blessing that we get in Psalm 23, where the Lord is our shepherd. It's the same blessing that we find in John 10:10. I have come that you may have life and have it more abundantly. It's the same one that's packed into Ephesians 1. Praise be God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. It's the same one in 2 Peter chapter 1. His divine power has given us everything we need for life and godliness through our knowledge of him who has called us by his own glory and goodness. Through these he has given us his very great and precious promises, so that through them we may participate in divine nature and escape the corruption that's in the world caused by evil. Psalm 1 will talk about the kind of person God blesses, and it has everything to do with how we look at the issue of resilience. We want to look today briefly at a choice of allegiance, a choice of affection, a choice of alignment, and then a choice of attainment, and then lastly, of assembly. That's a lot to do in a couple minutes here. I believe it's about choices. It's about choices. Now, first is the choice of allegiance. I love what C.S. Lewis says, all right? When the whole world is running towards the cliff, he who is running in the opposite direction appears to have lost his mind. Friends, the world has tried to shift this, right? The world's running this way. And here's what the Lord says. Don't run that way. Friends, the first choice of blessing here, how blessed is he who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, stand in the path of sinners, or sit in the seat of scoffers. Interesting enough, you could divide this all up by looking at, the first is walk, stand, sit, wicked, sinner, scoffer, counsel, path, seat. There's all these triads going on there. But here's the point, is that you have to make a choice. Where's your allegiance? If your allegiance is to please your friends, then your friends may be great people, right? They may be people making great choices and whatever, but they may not be. In the midst of this, in choosing our allegiance has to do with the issue. Once again, we're getting back to the thing, how do we make it? How do we stay resilient? How do we bounce back? How do we get stronger through trials and temptations and challenges? And first is we have to determine our allegiance. Where are we going to receive truth? I believe we need to guard our minds. Very beginning, Satan says to Eve, basically, you ought to do this. Basically, not just insinuating, but he's saying, God lied. You know, God doesn't want you. You know, God's messed up. Do your thing. You're the compass. Next, we need to make sure we guard our friends and our affections. Those whom you choose as close friends should become committed to the things that you're committed to. It doesn't mean that you toss aside those who aren't believers. But the fact is this, is that be very careful. 2 Corinthians 6:14 says, what fellowship has light with darkness? One of my heroes of the faith, Howie Hendricks, from Dr. Howie Hendricks from Dallas Seminary, who's with the Lord now. Two factors which will most influence where you will be in 10 years from now are the books you read and the friends you make. For whatever reason, I came up across this picture that was on my phone, that it was sent by an old classmate. And it was a picture from 1974, the same year I came to Christ. And it was a group of friends, and we were called the FAMC Club, the Friday After Midnight Club. We'd go play golf, play tennis at Deerwood Country Club at midnight. And there we were, pictures. There were some friends. We were all in the band together and all kinds of stuff. And I looked at the pictures of there. Here's my friend John, who died of a brain tumor, just like that. And there's my other friend Mike, and died of AIDS, you know, after he graduated with honors from Cornell. There's my friend Judy, who was made him honor in our wedding, and she's, you know, living on the streets. I mean, it's like it lost her mind, you know. And I share those stories, and I ask myself, how come I made it, you know? I don't know, other than this, is that there's something about the truths of Psalm 1. Friends, you got to build your life on those things that are eternal, and those friends are not. They're fragile. Even the person that you love the most. Maybe you're sitting next to your spouse and you should love them dearly, but the fact is they are eternal in the Lord, but they will not, they can't be Jesus for you. All right? You can expect him to be like that, you know, because the Bible says we're all to be like Christ. I can't think of a better way to bless your marriage than to be like Jesus. But here's the lessons. We also must guard our heart as we have our allegiances. 1 John 2:15, do not love the world or the things of the world. Anyone who loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Luke 21:34, be on guard so that your heart will not be weighed down by dissipation and drunkenness and the worries of this world. Proverbs 4:23, watch over your heart with all diligence, for from it flows the springs of life. So the first thing in this truth is that we must determine where our allegiance will be. The next is where our affection will be. Verse 2, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. His delight is in the law of the Lord. Now, what does it mean to delight in the law of the Lord? Well, Luke chapter 12, verse 34, where your treasure is, there your heart is also. I believe that delight is a choice. Delight is a choice. It tells us in Psalm 119, 92, if your law had not been my delight, then I would have perished in my affliction. Man, there's a verse talking about resiliency, doesn't it? Man, if I hadn't had the Lord as my delight, his word is my delight. So it says, delight in the law of the Lord. Well, does that mean I delight in the Ten Commandments or whatever? No, we look at in the Old Testament, when it talks about the law of the Lord, it is a generic sense of the word of God. Delights in the word of God. Interesting enough is that word delight is used in several times in the Old Testament for the delight that a man has for a woman. All right? And so, interesting, the church of Ephesus in Revelation says, I have this against you. You've lost your first love. So the issue is this, is that our delight is something that is that motivates us. It's something that we have that, man, I can't help it. I just can't help loving the law of the Lord or the word of God. It tells us in Psalm 119:11, your word I have treasured in my heart that I may not sin against you. The Bible is God's love letter to us, and he wants us to respond in kind to the fact that we are delighting. Not only is our allegiance to God and not on the world, but our affection is for God's word. I love the fact that that Jesus proclaimed himself to be the living word of God. Delight yourself in the word. So we have our allegiance, we have our affection, and next our choice of alignment. Here's what it says, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. The word meditate literally means to chew on. Meditation is like digesting food. It's like digesting what God has said. And that is why I have put for you, out there too is a card so that you can memorize Psalm 1. Now, I memorized it about 40 years ago. And this is one of my go-to things. Why? Because people, well, how do you make it? Well, this is how. Because the foundation, if I want to live like a tree and not like chaff, is this. So I want to encourage you, grab one of these, and you're going to memorize it. Now on the back, there's a bonus verse from Job chapter 23, which we'll look at in a moment also, okay? Friends, I believe that the front line for resilience in your life in the year 2020 will be the battle for truth. I think it's very difficult now in this age of disinformation and this age of social media where in your or my foolishness, we can post stuff that should not ever be posted. It's just vanity. It's foolish vanity. And some stuff, it just drives me nuts, some of the stuff that you post. That's kind of bold, right? I can tell you, I've never posted some foolish, unwise thing, but some of you do, because you think it's your right, and you're just making a mess. The Bible says, here's how to live your life. And please, I'm not just picking on you and stuff, because I have all kinds of things, errors that I can fall into. But some are being so unwise as it relates to this issue, somehow thinking, whatever I say, whatever I think, that matters more than the name of Christ. And that's how the Antichrist is going to take over. And I'm not being overly dramatic and stuff, but it's going to be a battle for truth. I don't know what to believe that I hear on the news right now. Bombing generals and I don't know. But here's what I know. I trust him. I trust his word. And I'm going to meditate on that. I'm going to chew on that. That's going to be my source of direction, is going to be the word of God, because it's the same yesterday, forever. It's permanent. It's completely trustworthy. And here's what I've had to learn. Get this, and I'll talk about this next week. I cannot trust my own feelings. My feelings don't equal reality. No matter what Carl Rogers says. If you don't know, he believed that our feelings are our reality. That's nonsense. So the issue is this, be careful. Our reality is in the truth of God. And that's how we can be resilient, because we go, okay, this is what God said, this is his promise. I'm going to chew on that. In the world years ago, when they're trying to figure out how to get around, they figured out latitudes pretty easily, because they figured that the compass was, you could get north and south pretty easily. But you really couldn't get east. You can kind of get general idea of east and west by how the sun rose and fall. But it changed all the time, right? It was so difficult that sailors, they were getting lost all the time. They'd get out there and they'd say, well, we've got enough food for our 5-week journey. And because they got off course, the journey was 10 weeks, and half of them died of starvation. So the British government said, we need to figure out not just latitude, but longitude. And we've got to be able to do it accurately so we don't get lost. And they put this massive prize out there. And it would be the equivalent today of millions of dollars. And someone finally figured it out. They did it with mathematics and all kinds of different things. And people could get from point A to point B. Here's how we're all going to make it. Is that our alignment is going to be on God's truth. What God says. Not what we feel. Not by circumstances that beat us up. Paul said, I've learned the secret of contentment. I can do all things through him who strengthens me. So we have choice of alignment. And next we have the choice of attainment. Here's what it says. If you do that, you'll be like a tree firmly planted by streams of water, yields its fruit in season, and its leaf does not wither. And whatever he does, he prospers. Now, I have 15 sermons I could do on this, but I have to land the plane, so I'm going to go through this quickly. It's comparing two things. Those who have their allegiance in the right place and their affection in the right place, and their alignment on that truth will attain something different. I mean, those who, it's a choice, right? So you're either going to be like a tree firmly planted, and look at the promises here. Firmly planted, that's firm and planted, that's a promise. Planted by streams of water, yields fruit in season, and the leaf does not wither, and whatever he does prospers. That's a great promise. But it says, goes on in verse 4, the wicked are not so, but they are like chaff which the wind drives away. So, I mean, it seems like pretty easy. Well, do I want to be a tree firmly planted that bears fruit and doesn't wither and prospers and everything, or chaff? And that's the image that we have. And here's what I see, unfortunately, in the now 46 years of my Christian life, I've seen some believers that have been, they've just been blown away. I understand the struggles. I understand the frustrations or challenges of the Christian life. And am I smarter than some of those people, some of my friends, colleagues? Am I more enlightened? No. I see it's by God's grace and mercy, but also too, 40 years ago I memorized this, and I have meditated on it. You got to have a foundation. What's your foundational truth in life? Is it you? Well, then you're going to get messed up because you change all the time. You get hungry, you get needful, you get lonely, you get antsy. And I'm here to tell you, I have learned to not make important decisions when I'm hungry, right? You know what happens when I do that? I end up self-medicating myself with ice cream and popcorn late at night. And that doesn't help me, right? So the issue here is the issue of attainment is the fact is that we see this attainment a blessing. And that's what obviously we all want to be. None of us want to be like chaff. And I'm not here to say that if difficulties come in your life, and you struggle that you're some kind of weak loser of some kind. No. I believe God holds on to you. But be very, very careful of where your affection is and where your alignment is. You need to learn how to meditate on God's Word. And in this world today, that is so changing. And you're going to have things that are going to come that are going to say, it says, Jesus says, even the elect will be led astray. It's going to be a battle for truth. You need to be a man or a woman, a boy or girl that meditates on the Word. And lastly, we have here this issue of the assembly. What do I mean by that? Is that we have the comparison, all right, of a allegiance and affection, alignment, attainment, and now assembly. Let me read this. But the wicked not so, they will be like chaff as wind blows away. Therefore the wicked will not stand in the assembly, stand in judgment, nor sinners in the assembly of the righteous. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked will perish. It says that the wicked, there's not like 14 kinds of people. There are those who are wicked and those who are blessed. You can't play around with God. I'll let a little piece of Jesus and that'll get me to heaven. It won't. I'm here to tell you, it won't. Piece of nothing, he wants everything. All right? And so the issue here is the difference of the person who not only chooses to align themselves with whoever, the world, have the affections on whatever they want, align themselves by their own truth, it says that that person will be like chaff and will not stand in judgment, nor will they stand in the assembly of the righteous. So at some point, there's going to be assembly. In fact, it tells us in Hebrews 12, verse 23, and to the general assembly of the church of the firstborn who are enrolled in heaven and to God, the judge of all, and to the spirits of the righteous made perfect, It's talking about something to come. Ultimately, one of the reasons why we can be resilient is we know what the end is. I don't understand a lot of things. In fact, I believe that at times I just need to embrace the mystery. I don't get it, God, but I get you. I get Jesus, so that's okay. But at the end, the assembly, I'm going to be in the assembly of the righteous, not because of my own deeds, but because of the grace of God. And a choice that I made, I realize he chose me, but I chose him. I want to look at the life of Job very quickly. Here's what Job had been beat up and lost a bunch of stuff and lost, you know, death of his family and everything he owned. And his friends were beaten up on him, saying, well, that's because you don't know the word of God and you don't follow his will. Well, here's what it says. Eliphaz said that to him in Job 22. Here's what it says in Job 23, 8 to 14. Behold, I go forth, but he's not there. And backwards, but I cannot perceive God. When he acts on the left, I cannot behold him. He turns to the right, and I cannot see him. Get this, verse 10. But he knows the way I take. And when he has tried me, I shall come forth as gold. My foot has held fast to his path. I have kept his way and have not turned aside. I have not departed from the command of his lips. I have treasured the word of his mouth more than my necessary food. But he is unique, and who can turn him? And what his soul desires, that he does. For he performs what is appointed for me, and many such decrees are with him. To me, reading that, I just made me weep this week. The Lord knows my way. I can't see it. It's kind of foggy, but it's okay because the Lord knows my way. And that's exactly what it says here at the end of Psalm 1. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous. You know the Lord knows your way? 2020, he knows your way. He knows choices you'll need to make. He'll know heartaches you'll face, fragile things. But the Lord knows the way. And he's our shepherd, and he'll carry us through. I have a picture here. I'd like the men to come up who are going to serve communion. I have a picture here of a tree. How did it get up there? I don't know. You know. But here's what I know about that tree. It has to be pretty resilient. But I know this, that tree could not function if it wasn't for the fact that it was in the cleft of the rock. It was drawing its sustenance from that rock. Jesus says this in John 15, without me, you can do nothing. People say, well, Pastor, how do you make it? I just figured out a long time ago that I need Jesus. I have to cling to him. And then I got to cling to the things that he said, here's how you're going to make it. You're going to make it by delighting in my word and meditating upon it. Chew on it. Have that be what fills your mind and not the negative stuff. And know this, that the Lord knows your path. And he's got a plan for you. I came, you might have life and have it abundantly. Hebrews chapter 12, verses and following, talks about the fact that consider him who has suffered such hostility by sinners against himself that you may not grow weary or lose heart. Are you losing heart right now? Then look to Jesus. What a blessing to start the year off around this table. A lot of people making New Year's resolutions, that's good, all right? I still got 60 pounds to lose, right? So I'm thinking, okay. Have an appointment at the gym tomorrow. I'm kidding. No, seriously. But the most important thing is this. In this year to come, to trust in the fact that whatever the Lord brings my way, it's going to be okay. Because He's the King, I'm not. Fix my eyes on Him. Fix my eyes on the reality of this table. He claimed us. He saved us. And so he's worthy of our praise and our trust. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we ask now, as we go to your word, go to this table, and remembering your words, to do this in remembrance of me. Help us, Lord, to fix our gaze upon you and consider what you've done for us, that we may not grow weary or lose heart. We pray in Christ's name, amen. And Jesus said, do this in remembrance of me. Jesus would take a cup at the Last Supper. It would be identified as a cup of his shed blood. I wasn't purposely trying to make people feel uncomfortable about posting dumb things online. But here's the thing. I think of the year 2019. Are there things that I did that didn't honor the Lord? either in my thoughts or in my actions or lack of action? The answer is yes. We stand here because of His mercy and grace, His shed blood for our sins. And what I never want to do is take advantage of that. So my brothers and sisters, stay far from sin. And when you have sinned, confess your sins, for He is faithful and just to cleanse us, and forgive us and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And if there are things in your life that you know are wrong, that you're holding on to, confess them now. You never want to take this cup in an unworthy manner. It's my prayer that in the year to come, each one of us would walk closer to Christ. We would cling to Him. We would find our resilience in His power, in His grace. Let us do this in remembrance of Him. Amen. What a great way to start the year. Let me encourage you on the way out. We'll be having an offering, benevolence offering, for those who come to our church. It happens every day with special needs and things so we can help them. So let me encourage you to give gracious and generously. And we're going to stand together and sing, "In My Life, Lord, Be Glorified." In my life, Lord, be glorified, be glorified. In my life, Lord, be glorified today. Lord, take us from here filled with Your Holy Spirit. Lord, help us to meditate on Your word day and night. We thank You for the blessing it is to walk with You. Help us, Lord, to be resilient. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. And those who can help tear down some tents, follow Pastor Jason.